Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. Now, folks, how many of you have once upon a time in your life loved reading or learning about dinosaurs? Maybe you were like me back in 1993 and saw the movie Jurassic Park. Or perhaps recently, I did not get on board with the Jurassic Park film, all of the various films, but I think it was back in June this year, they came out with Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, which has further stimulated public interest in dinosaurs far beyond previous levels and so forth. As a result, this has increased numbers of people throughout America thinking, since we found all these fossils and dinosaur bones, we know dinosaurs existed, but how come they're not mentioned in the Bible? Actually, my friend, dinosaurs are mentioned in the texts of our King James Bible. And I will prove it by doing the following three things. Number one, examining the Bible's text and the related scientific facts rather than scientific so-called propaganda. Number two, explaining the accuracy of the Bible. And number three, exploring what we are taught in school and through various forms of media. Now remember, regardless of what you and I have been taught in the satanically controlled United States public school system, that is the U.S. propaganda mill, remember that the Bible is always right. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Bible ought to be and remain your final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Now, the Bible refers to many animals we know of today, such as lions, wolves, bears, sheep, cattle, and dogs, along with various kinds of birds, rodents, reptiles, and creeping things, such as insects. What is interesting is that this extensive list includes three animals, however, that we no longer recognize. These three, seen inside of the Hebrew language, are the Tanyin, the Behemoth, and the Leviathan. We have altered the spelling as these words in Hebrew have been translated, and two of the latter have come into our language today as the Behemoth or Behemoth and Leviathan. However, the word Tanyin is translated into another word when we write it in English. That Hebrew word, tanyin, occurs 28 times in the Old Testament portion of the Word of God. The King James Bible translators translate that word, tanyin, which is Strong's H8577, for those of you so inclined to look it up. It occurs in the following way and manner. It appears in our Bible 21 times as dragon, 3 times as serpent, 3 times as whale in Genesis 1:21, Job 7, verse 12, and Ezekiel 32, verse 2. And then a final time, the word tanyin is translated 1 time in Lamentation chapter 4, verse 3, as the phrase sea monster. Behemoth and Leviathan are relatively specific creatures, signifying that each was a single kind of animal. Tanyin is a more general term, and it can largely be thought of as the original version of what we today would call the word of dinosaur. However, when your Bible translates it as whale, that is what it is to be understood as a large creature. Now, the word dinosaur was originally coined in 1841. That's more than 3,000 roughly years after the Hebrew Bible first referred to tanyin. So if we can make things clearer, let's compare scientific names with biblical names, such as tanyin, behemoth, and leviathan. You have translated in 1611 roughly the word tanyin as dragon. In 1841, the word dinosaur will be coined. In 1611, we have the word behemoth, whereas in 1903, we encounter the word brachiosaurus. In 1611, we have Leviathan, and then in 1901 A.D., we have the word Kronosaurus. Now, how we got these names is interesting. In 1822, Mary Ann Mantell became the first person to discover and correctly identify a strange bone as part of a large unknown reptile. Her husband, Dr. Gideon Mantell, later will name this creature an iguanodon. From that time forward, these forgotten animals were given names chosen by the people who rediscovered them. Of course, our Bible, written between approximately, 1445 or 1446 B.C., beginning with the Old Testament writer of Moses, around the time of the Exodus, moving all the way down to 96 A.D. with the writer John on the Isle of Patmos, or thereafter writing down the book of the Revelation. The Bible, then, does not include any of these names, because these were known by different names in times long ago. When you and I read the Bible carefully, you will realize that no living creature will match the descriptions of Behemoth and Leviathan. However, if you grab your dinosaur book, say, that's on the shelf for a kindergartner or a first grader in the school library or at the public library, you will notice several possible matches for each one. So let's examine those, shall we? Go ahead and grab your Bible, the final authority of all matters in our lives of faith and practice. And we turn to the book of Job, chapter 40, verses 15 through 24. And this is what we read. Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees and the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares. Now, in many modern Bibles today, in many modern study Bibles, they will translate the word behemoth as elephant, or hippopotamus, or even river ox. Others might put a note at the edge or the bottom of the page stating that behemoth is probably an elephant or a hippo. Although an elephant or a hippopotamus can eat grass or lie in a covert of reeds and marshes, neither an elephant or a hippopotamus has a tail like a cedar, that is, a tail like a large tapered tree trunk. But in your kid's dinosaur book, you will find lots of animals that have tails like a cedar. We would expect Behemoth to be a large land animal, would we not? Whose bones are like beams of bronze and so forth. So whatever a behemoth is, it is large. And indeed, the word behemoth has come down to us in our English language today, indeed carrying that very same understanding. A something that is a behemoth is something that is rather large. Now, the key phrase there is, he is the chief of the ways of God. That phrase in the Hebrew implied that behemoth was indeed the biggest animal that God created. Although an elephant or a hippopotamus are rather large, they are less than one-tenth the size of a brachiosaurus, the largest complete dinosaur that has ever been discovered. A brachiosaurus could therefore easily be described by us as the chief of the ways of God. Comparing all this information given in our King James Bible to the description in our Child Dino book, we will come to the conclusion that Behemoth is not a normal modern animal, but rather it is a dinosaur, the Brachiosaurus. I agree with that conclusion. And by the way, I would like to point something else out, that we talk about extinct and not modern animals. However, in the Congo, in Africa, we have reports given by natives there to certain missionaries that they have a creature that resides inside of the Congo who they call Mokelo-Mbembe. And that is what they called the picture of a brachiosaurus. As a missionary was teaching his children about dinosaurs, the missionary said, "Well, how do you know what this is? I never know what the phrase is that you referred to," because he didn't know that word. But they told him that that animal seen inside of that book, the brachiosaurus or brontosaurus or whatever we would call that, apatosaurus, is currently today at that time living inside of the Congo. Now, Leviathan has the following attributes according to the following sections. We look first in the 41st chapter of Job, and then we will see Psalms 104, verses 25 and 26, and then Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1. So Job chapter 41, verse 1 begins, "Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down? Canst thou put an hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment? Or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils go his smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together, they are firm. In themselves they cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raises up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breaking, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh the path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride." That's how Job, or God rather, describes Leviathan to Job. In Psalm 104, verses 25 and 26, we read this: "So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships, there is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein." So Leviathan plays inside of the ocean, inside of the sea, where the ships sail. And then in Isaiah 27:1, this is something else we read very interesting: "In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan the piercing serpent, even Leviathan that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea." Now the word translated dragon here is that Hebrew word we mentioned earlier, tanyin. Thus, this shows that Leviathan is also a dragon, or we would say today, a type of dinosaur. Now, unlike Behemoth, who is huge, Leviathan is ferocious and terrifying. Now, many references, we have not listed them all here, refer to the sea. So Leviathan, we notice here, is probably a sea creature. Now, some modern corrupted Bibles are going to refer to Leviathan as an alligator or a crocodile. Now, while both of these are fierce, neither of these is a sea creature. They do like the water, but they spend much of their time on land as well. Further, the question, who can open the doors of his face, implies that nobody can open Leviathan's jaw. Although an alligator's jaw can normally be forced open, a punch to their sensitive snout or a poke in the eye might startle them enough to release their grip. Now, although this could be a good description of an alligator characteristic, it does not fit perfectly with the description of Leviathan, which in the context of our Bible was supposed to describe an essentially impossible event, and we are not done yet. The description of the scales is interesting. Several verses describe these great scales. Compared to Leviathan's armor, iron is like straw. Arrows cannot make it open. It cannot make the beast flee. Let's face it, an arrow can do a lot of damage to a crocodile or to an alligator. So this simply is not a description of either of them or any animal that we are aware of, except when you look into cryptozoology. When you look inside of cryptozoology, you encounter creatures like Champ, the sea monster up in Lake Champlain. You also become familiarized with the famous Nessie or Loch Ness sea monster. And so it is that while many people think that these are figments of people's imagination, people that have had too much to drink, or people that are merely hoaxing or pranking others out inside of our world and our community today, we find that here inside of the Bible, the description listed of Leviathan matches much of the description we read about of either a plesiosaurus or a chronosaurus, or that one could adequately refer to even as the understanding matching the Loch Ness Monster or Champ. But now, let's look at something else listed here about the Leviathan. It's hard to read Job 41, verses 18 through 21, without realizing the Bible is telling us here that Leviathan breathes fire. Now, that alone will eliminate almost every living animal today. Now, there is one animal similar in today's world, and that is called the bombardier beetle. This beetle is a native of Central America, and it has a nozzle, not in its mouth, as the Bible described, but rather it has a nozzle in its hindquarters that literally acts like a little flamethrower. It sprays a high-temperature jet of gas fueled by hydroquinones and hydrogen peroxide with oxidative enzyme for protection. Now, if a Central American beetle can do that, squirt fire out of his rear end for protection, why can't Leviathan breathe fire out of his mouth? By the way, crocodiles and alligators are totally out of the picture on this one. Don't you agree? Now, before we leave the topic of fire, there are two more notes you may find interesting. The history of every culture is filled with stories of what? Fire-breathing dragons. If you think about it, in all the past ages, wouldn't someone have made up a story of a fire-breathing lion or something? Nobody did, because the dragon stories are based on truth, and only dragons breathe fire. It's easy to imagine Leviathan as a member of the dragon or Tanyan family, as Isaiah implies that it is part of that family, as we read already back in Isaiah 27, verse 1. Many fossil dinosaur skulls contained unexplained empty passages. Some scientists have not been able to guess the reason for these passages, but would it make sense that some dinosaurs used these passages as, we might could say, gas tanks for the combustible mixture used to breathe fire? Well, I, for one, believe it does. When you compare all this information to the descriptions found inside of your child's dinosaur book, you may come up with the conclusion that Leviathan simply is a chronosaurus. Now, I've heard and read other suggestions, like the plesiosaurus and so forth, But the Kronosaurus would be the best match of any known creature to the description of Leviathan. Now you may be sitting there saying, well, preacher, don't you understand? Don't you remember that dinosaurs were extinct long before a man ever appeared upon the earth? Well, that's what modern day science wants you to believe. But the Bible is accurate in everything it records. And if I believe in Jesus Christ, he believed in the record of what this book described. He believed that Jonah was a historical person. He believed that Sodom and Gomorrah were actually destroyed by God. He believed that Adam and his wife, who was named Eve in Genesis chapter 3, were real historical people, and that their subsequent fall was an actual historical event. So Jesus placed his divine stamp of approval upon the Old Testament as we have it recorded and preserved inside of our King James Bible. And that being the case, I understand that when I read in Genesis chapter 1, and I read verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And then I also see after the fifth day, on the sixth day, in verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And then God said in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Remember what God told Job in Job chapter 40, beginning in verse 15. Behold now, behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Notice the wording there, behold now, behemoth. That means look, Job, look and gaze upon behemoth that I made with you. In other words, the Bible is stating that this creature, behemoth, which I believe to be a dinosaur, Job actually looked upon. Now, Job lived, most likely, we believe, inside of the time of the patriarch, which would put him around the time of, most likely, Abraham, or in that era. And so it is that Job, being the oldest book of the Bible, refers to dinosaurs living with men. Some people then believe that the Bible is not a scientifically accurate book, and that is only to be believed as a spiritual book that forgot about dinosaurs, described them incorrectly, and so forth. But you know, that's not the case. People say today, nobody has ever seen a living dinosaur. How do they know? Have they talked to every living person? Could they go back and talk to Adam? Have they interviewed Moses? Well, we can't interview them asking them, hey, have you ever seen a dinosaur, or a dragon, or a behemoth, or a leviathan yet? There inside of the book of Job, we do have the record being stated that Job was told by God to behold a behemoth. We have heard of the natives that have claimed in Africa to have seen a Mokelomende, or what we would say would be a brontosaurus or brachiosaurus. You see, beloved, I want you to understand, nobody, and I mean nobody, has ever proven that the Bible contained inaccurately recorded information. If you think someone has such evidence, you contact me. You know, you don't have to believe the Bible because somebody says you're supposed to. That's blind faith. And faith, as I taught about this past Sunday night in our Q&A session, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice that there is something that is going to back up what you're believing in accordance with the Scripture. Faith, substance, evidence. In other words, we have the evidence before us. When that woman in 1841 dug up bone, she had the substance in her hand. She had the evidence. Before that time, perhaps she could have had faith in the Bible. I don't know what her belief was concerning the Word of God. But if she had believed Job's record, that there was a huge creature called a a behemoth, and also Leviathan, a fire-breathing, what we would say a fire-breathing dragon. And then suddenly we find bones that suddenly add up to these humongous creatures. Preachers back then said that these were Satan's decoys or Satan's bones out there that he had made to make the Bible appear to be wrong. But that is no faith at all, beloved. We have to believe what the Bible says. And the science of dinosaurs and the Bible go hand in hand together. That what science has discovered proves, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that roughly 6,000 years ago, the evidence shows us that what the Bible records is true. I believe by faith what the Bible records and what it says. But yet, I also have the evidence. There's evidence all around the world showing us that a flood occurred. And that's how most of the dinosaurs perished. And people say, well, Job lived after the flood, so how did he see the dinosaurs if most of the dinosaurs were killed by the flood? Well, at least two kinds of dinosaurs would have went upon the ark. Leviathan lived in the water, so he didn't have to get on board the ark. But we notice that the dragon, a generic dinosaur, and at least a behemoth would have gotten upon the ark because God said, behold, now behemoth. And so we understand that people say, well, how did this big, big animal get on board the ark? Simple. Noah would have taken babies, a pink one and a blue one. Naturally, of course. So it is that blind faith is something you don't need with Christianity. The Bible and Christianity have been proven true. And there's no other religion out there, and there's no other holy writing from the Book of Mormon to the Quran that can honestly make the same claim. Now, what we're taught in the schools and through the media, since humans are in the Bible, many unconsciously think that dinosaurs then were extinct. Therefore, they're not mentioned in the Bible. But just as you have heard, the Bible not only refers to dinosaurs, but has detailed information about them. Unfortunately, our public school system and media have convinced millions that dinosaurs went extinct at least 60 million years before man appeared upon the earth. They've done such a good job in that area that many people today simply cannot imagine dinosaurs and people living at the same time unless they go to the theater and see Jurassic Park or Jurassic World or something like that. However, the fact is that dinosaurs were created no more than one day before man was created, as we looked on day 5 with the aquatic creatures, and then we saw on day 6 the beasts of the earth. They were not here millions of years, because millions of years have simply not occurred. According to the Bible, we've only been around for 6,000 years, and that includes the entire universe. Why? Because the Bible, the King James Bible, is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice and everything. And you know what? We have the evidence to support these statements. And so, beloved, today, if you are there listening and you think my conclusion are laughable, then what are you putting your faith in and your trust in? You say, I don't have faith. Yes, you do. Because if you believe in the evolutionary theory, then there is no evidence to back it up. Only the talking of man. And those talkings of man, those theories change about every 7 years. Folks, we have the authority, the final authority of the Word of God. And today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I urge you to put your faith and trust in Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.